Tonight's lecture is sponsored by Sharon and Jeffrey Freeling, Bengioni and Rachel, in memory of their father and grandfather, Tzvi Ben Yosef, Harry Aderson, Olav Shalom. It's also sponsored by Aliza and Avi Lauer, commemorating the yahrzeit of Avi's father, Rabbi Elias Lauer, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Aaron David, Olav Shalom, the 26th of Iyar. It's also sponsored by Lynn and Joel Mail, Lazecha Nishmos, their grandmother, Sarah Blank, Sarah Etta Bas Alta Ben Sion, Allah Shalom, in the recent passing also of their aunt, Mrs. Ruth Cohen, Menya Rachel Bas Yaakov Tzvi, Allah Shalom. It's also sponsored by David and Susan Levy, in honor of Noam's grandparents, Alex and Ricky Folkman, and in memory of grandparents, Rabbi Sion Levy, Allah Shalom, and Rabbi Tzin Sarah Levy, Allah Shalom. So, in the merit of all the learning we're all going to do tonight, may all the neshamos have an aliyah, and in honor of those people who are honoring tonight, may they merit and benefit from this chus of tonight's learning. So, as you know, Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter is the University Professor of Jewish History and Jewish Thought and Senior Scholar at the Center for the Jewish Future at Yeshiva University. What you may not know is that he holds a PhD in Near Eastern Languages from Harvard, and his shiur tonight will be on Kaf Aleihem et Ahar Kegigit, coercion and choice in Kabbalah HaTorah. And there are a lot of people here who put a lot of pressure on me before the various introductions to the various speakers, wanting to know how I'm going to introduce each one. So I was thinking, this afternoon I was sitting in Germany. Germany is a place in Busch Gardens in Virginia, because Busch Gardens is an amusement park in Virginia, where I was this afternoon with the seniors on the senior trip, and it's divided by country. So we're sitting in Germany, and a woman, there's a bunch of rabbeim, the rabbeim don't go on the roller coasters, so the rabbis are sitting, we have a tradition already many, many years, we sit at the same table every single year, we buy the same Dippin' Dots ice cream, we all have a whole mahalach over there in Germany, and a woman comes by, I kid you not, you could ask Rabbi Storch, you can ask all the boys whether this happened or not, but a woman walks by and she sees some svarim on the table because the rabbis were preparing for the various shiurim that they're giving soon. So she looks at the svarim and she says, are these books written in Hebrew? So we said, yeah. She says, do you know Hebrew? Now, mind you, I don't think there's an Orthodox Jew that lives within at least 45 minutes of Williamsburg, Virginia, where we were this afternoon. She says, do you know how to read Hebrew? We said, yeah. So she said, could you please teach me a little Hebrew, because when I go up to heaven, I want to be able to talk to Yashka. This happened this afternoon to me. Now, what does this have to do with Rabbi J.J. Shannon? Rabbi J.J. Schachter is the senior scholar of the Center for the Jewish Future. Now, the running joke in YU, according to my sources, is that if you want to be part of a CJF function, they're going to send you to Guatemala, they're going to send you to go do chesed in the far reaches of the universe, they're going to send you to teach Torah in places that, unfortunately, Torah is not so frequent, not so prevalent, not so common. And this is one of the tremendous messages and roles that the CJF, the Center for the Jewish Future at Yeshiva University, is filling. And it is absolutely amazing if you look at a weekly schedule or a bi-weekly schedule of what is happening all over the world, all over the United States, and what the CJF is involved in, various programs and throughout the United States, throughout the world. And yet, what's very, very special, I think, about it, and I think what Rabbi Schachter's role as the senior scholar, is that all the chassadim and the Torah that's being taught all has to be rooted in the Torah of Yeshiva University. He's the senior scholar, so when there are issues of policy and issues of, to make sure that when you spread yourself so thin sometimes, you have to make sure that you're grounded strongly and wholly in Torah Seinu HaKadosha, in Yisrael Saba, in the traditions of our people. And I would venture to say that there is no one who is more qualified, who has seen both in terms of his own scholarship and in terms of what's going on in the world. Rabbi Schachter is known as the rabbi's rabbi, when any rabbi in the tri-state area needs something or needs advice on a certain thing, invariably it's Rabbi Shapter that he turns to. And in his role in the CJF, he's just been Yafutza Mainosa Chutza. So we thank him for all his work at the CJF, and we very much thank him for coming tonight to speak to us on coercion and choice in Kabbalah HaTorah. Please give your attention to Rabbi Jacob J. Shapter.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the introduction. I was a little iffy there for a while. I didn't know exactly where the introduction was going, but Baruch Hashem, it turned out to be in a wonderful place. It's nice to be here. A good Ner of Shabbos to you, a good Ner of Yom Tov to you. It's a pleasure to be in this great institution of Torah learning under such distinguished leadership. Shimchem Holech Lefnechem, and pleasure to acknowledge the sponsorship of the Freiling, Lauer, Mail, and Levy families. I thought that because we're coming up to Zman Matan Toraseinu in a couple of days, that I would reflect a little bit on what I consider to be one of, if not the central Maimer Chazal and concept that relates to Kabbalah Satorah. We've been preparing for Kabbalah Satorah now ever since we started counting the Omer. We're getting closer and closer. So perhaps tonight's presentation might be helpful for you as you consider your own connection. And by connection, I mean a real connection, a real, serious, honest, sincere, and genuine connection with Torah and with Kabbalah HaTorah. One of the things that I think it's important for us to realize is that Torah is real. And the Torah addresses us as human beings in our real lives. Sometimes we get the impression that it's somehow angelic, somehow malachim, somehow there are a lot of platitudes, but doesn't really get translated into our own personal lives. So that's what I'd like to do this evening, is to bring it down halacha lemaisa for each of us in the lives that we lead and in the challenges that we face. So the pasuk says in the psukim leading up to and culminating in Kabbalah Satorah in Perek Yutes and Sefer Shmos. Does everybody have, anybody not have a copy of the Xerox sheets? Pasuk talks about how Bnei Yisrael, as they were getting ready for Kabbalah Satorah, Vayotze Moshe Esam Lekraso Elokim in Amachne Vayisyatzvu Betachtis Hohor Vayisyatzvu Betachtis Hohor. Now, Tachtis Hohor is a very strange formulation, and it's not exactly clear what this refers to. And Rashi has two interpretations. So if you look on the left-hand side, Betachtis Hohor, Rashi on this pasuk in Chumash, Lefi Pshuta Beragle Hohor. Betachtis doesn't mean Tachas, it's Tachtis, which is meant to be understood as at the foot of the mountain. So here you have the mountain. What does it mean to be at the foot of the mountain? It means you're surrounding the mountain, and that's the image that we would imagine. Here's the Har Sinai. Kodesh Baruch is ready to give the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is going up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, and Bnei Yisrael are encamped around the mountain. That's the first pshat in Rashi, and Rashi identifies that as Lefi Pshuto. Umid Rasho, however, says Rashi, there's a medrash, midrasho, shenidla shahar min komo, that the mountain was separated, was lifted up from its place, the nechbe aleim kigigis, and it was held over them like a cask. A gigis is like a cask, like a barrel. So tachtis, according to the second interpretation, not pshuto, tachtis means tachas, itaka means they were under the mountain. This, what Rashi refers to as midrasho, we know from a Gemara. Normally when Rashi says midrasho, it's not necessarily a reference to a Gemara. We have what we know as Gemara, and then we have what we know as Medrash, Bereishis Rabba, Shmos Rabba. There are different kinds of midrashim. But the midrasho here, we have, in addition to Medrash, as we'll see, but the famous Makor for the second interpretation of Rashi is the Gemara Masechus Shabbos. And this is probably the most famous image. And for me personally, for many years, it was a troubling image. It was a complicated image. Vayisyasvu betachta sohar pecha samad alef masachah Shabbos, the bottom of the first page. Omer avdimi barchama barchasa. Melamit shekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu olein esahar ki gigis. Teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over them like a barrel. Adkan Rashi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over them like a barrel. But the Gemara continues and says that there was a conversation that was taking place. It wasn't really so much of a conversation as it was a one-sided conversation. For Amar Lehem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them while he's holding the mountain over them, Im Atem Mekablam HaTorah Mutav V'im Lav Sham Tehei Kvurach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a choice. And he says to Bnei Yisrael, you hear me down there? I'm holding up the mountain. They're below the mountain. They look up and they see the bottom of the mountain. They see the mud and the dirt and the twigs sticking out from the bottom of the mountain. And they hear this disembodied voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam telling them the following. If you accept the Torah, so that's great, mutav. But v'in lav sham tekvuraschem, if you don't accept the Torah, essentially I'm going to drop the mountain on you and I am going to bury you. And that's what the tachtis ha'har. Tachtis is not meant to be understood at the foot of the mountain, but in fact, miraculously, the mountain is now suspended in midair. The Jews are under the mountain and they're given a choice. If you turn the next page, this image of Kofaleim Harkigigis is found in other places as well in rabbinic literature. It's a famous Gemara at the beginning of Masechus Avodah Zarah. Right at the beginning of Masechus Avodah Zarah, the Gemara talks about how at the end of days, Kodesh Baruch is going to make an announcement, is going to say whoever abided by the Torah should now come and receive Schar. And the Gemara says of all the nations of the world are going to line up and they're going to want to be able to get schar for whatever they did. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to them, what did you do? And they, this one says, well, we did this and this and this and we did it so that the Jewish people should be able to observe the Torah. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, who are you kidding? You did it for your own selfish purposes. It has nothing to do. And they realize that they were putting themselves in an inappropriate place, so they leave, and then the next nation comes. And then they realize that Sanish Galingan, it's not going to go. They can't fool the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not as if they did anything that should deserve the reward for the observance of the Torah. So at which point they start to have tainus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Gemara says, Omrim Lefanav, the top of the second page, Ribbono Shel Olam, Plum Nasata Lon of Veloki Belal Nuha, did you ever give it to us? It's not fair. You have a tiny to us that we didn't keep the Torah. You never gave us the Torah. Fashteitzach, the Jews are going to observe the Torah because you gave it to them. You gave them an option. You gave them the opportunity. You gave them the Torah. You never gave it to us. The Gemara says, wait a minute, that's not a taina, because Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in fact did offer the Torah to them. Very famous Maimer Chazal, it appears also in a number of different places, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is kind of peddling the Torah to all the nations. And this one asks, Torah zu maksivba, and this one says, maksivba, nah, forget that, I'm not leisigna, leisinach, sanish famir, I can't live with that. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did offer them the Torah, so that can't be the issue. Finally, the Gemara says that the taina of the nations of the world to the Ribbono Shel Olam was, Omrim lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam klum kafisa aleinu har kegigis veloki balnuha kamosha asisa liyisra. The reason why we didn't observe the Torah is because you didn't force us. The reason why the Jews observed the Torah is because you forced them to observe the Torah. If you would have forced us, if you would have given us this option, trust me, we would have been there too. So why is it our fault? In fact, the Gemara in Shabbos asks this question. Gemara in Shabbos says, Amar Rava, Maidar Rabba Lai Raisa. The Gemara says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with the Taina to Bnei Yisrael, why is it that you're not observing the Torah? So Bnei Yisrael are going to say, we never wanted to observe the Torah. You forced us to observe the Torah. Hadar Kiblu Abimei HaChashveirosh, Kimu VeKiblu. But the Gemara here in Avodah Zarah picks up on the coercive aspect of this scenario. In the mouths of the Umos HaOlam, who use this as a Taina, because you didn't force us, so why do the Jewish people get special preferential treatment? You forced them. The Medrash says in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Medrash says, first, I underlined, Nitlash Har Sinai, V'nitzav B'shmei Moro, V'hoyu Yisrael Nitzunin Tachtav, the same image that we have in the Gemara. And the Medrash here quotes from a pasuk later on in Tevarim, where the pasuk actually does use the word tachas. So there's a tzushtel from Yena tachas to this tachtis. So they were mamish under the mountain. And then, a little bit further down in the Medrash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Amar Lama HaKadosh Baruch Hu, four lines from the bottom, Im atem mekablom aleichem torasi mutav, V'im lav hareini kovesh aleichem ha-hor hazeh v'horei geschem. I'm going to drop the mountain on you and I'm going to kill you. So if you want to accept the Torah, that's a wonderful thing. You'll accept the Torah. If you don't want to accept the Torah, that's okay. That's okay. You could decide that you don't want to accept the Torah, but there are going to be consequences. And the consequences are that in 4.5 minutes, you're dead. You're dead. As I state in Gemara, as I state in Medrash, ani horeg eschem, sham tekvuras. And that's pshat by Yisyatzu betachtesho. So I mentioned earlier that I had trouble with this Maimer Chazal. You know, I don't know about you, but I was born in America. Maybe you weren't born in America. I was born in America. I grew up in America. America's a free country. America's a democracy. And I went to fancy universities in America. And I was influenced by America. Tried to be an Erel Chayid. I went to fancy yeshivas also. I didn't feel good walking into Shavuos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding me by the neck and squeezing my neck and saying to me, yeah, you have a choice. Either you want to live or you want to die. That's your choice. I like Shavuos. I like the Torah. The Torah is meaningful to me. The Torah enhances my life. I don't want to feel like the fundamental primary image that I associate with the Yom Tov of Shavuos is that I'm looking up and I'm looking at the bottom of the mountain and all the gook is dripping down on my face. And if I were to say, you know what, God, not today. You know, it's like I'm not holding yet. You know, man, that's it. Where's the love and where's the hug and where's the kiss and where's the glad on the cheek and where's the affection and where's the varmkeit and where's the beauty and where's the geschmack? Where is Lule Sarascha Shashuai? Where is Tovli Toras Picha Me'alfe Zav Achesef? So I... Chazach Gemitchit with this Gemara. Chazach Gemitchit with this Gemara. I understand the Gemara. I understand what the Gemara is trying to say, but I try to make my Judaism real, and I was struggling. There's a lot of Torah on this Gemara to try to explain it. I just xeroxed one passage for you from Rabbi Soloveitchik in a footnote in Lonely Man of Faith. I xeroxed it because I want to leave it with you and I want you to think about it. And maybe after you wake up on Shavuos morning and you're sitting having your Yom Tov Suda, so you'll pull it out and you'll read it at the table and you'll see what the Chabura around the table has to say. But the Rav limits this Maamar Chazal. The Rav here in Lonely Man of Faith is talking about what he calls here and in so many other places the covenantal community. The covenantal community is a reference to the Jewish people, and it's called, we are called the covenantal community, because we have a covenant with God. We're engaged in a covenantal relationship with God. Posits Rabbi Soloveitchik that if you're engaged in a covenantal relationship, that means that each side has a certain bialis, and each side enters into this covenantal relationship by mutual consent. Otherwise, it's not a covenantal relationship. That by definition, a covenantal relationship is, there is a mutuality on both sides to agree, to abide by, and to engage in the rules of this covenant. Both parties entering a covenantal relationship, I'm in the text of the article, three lines from the bottom, possess inalienable rights, which may only be surrendered by mutual consent. Ich bin a balabas, and you're a balabas. We're in it together. Zog the Rav in a footnote. The giving of the law on Mount Sinai was a result of free negotiation between Moses and the people who consented to submit themselves to the divine will. The halacha treats the Sinai and Moab covenants in categories and terms governing any civil agreement. What's the binding nature of a civil agreement? Is that there's a voluntary desire to engage in that civil agreement. So the Rav says, no, it's not really a stira to this fundamental yesod. The Talmudic opinion, kafaleim harkedigis, that there was coercive action on the part of God during the Sinai revelation, does not refute our thesis. The action to which the Talmud refers was taken after the covenant had been voluntarily transacted on the preceding day, according to the chronology elaborated by Rashi. So you know what? This was later. Kafaleim harkedigis happened after there was a voluntary agreement to engage and to abide by the stipulations of the covenant. Which means that it's not so pashit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shalom Aleichem, it's me, I am God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, hi, we're now ready to go, here's your choice, you want to live or you want to die? That's not what happened. There was a previous conversation. And in the previous conversation, Klal Yisrael voluntarily agreed to abide. And then later, afterwards, for some reason, there was a secondary connection, a secondary episode, Kafaleim Harkigigas. But the Kafaleim Harkigigas should not define the essential voluntary commitment of Klal Yisrael to receive the Torah. This is Machlekes Rashi and the Ramban. The Rav operates with this. I leave it for you to work on. What do we take out from this? What we take out from this is that the Rav also understood that it can't be that the entire Kabbalah's HaTorah in its totality is predicated upon this vision. And he tries to limit the applicability of this vision to a secondary episode. Today, it's hard for people who live in America and grew up in America and who are influenced by America to fully be mekabel the notion of coercion when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs. Now, I'm not saying that because that's a happy thing and that's necessarily a good thing. I'm saying that that's the metzias. Let's be real. I know it shouldn't be that way. I know I should be on a madrega. I know all of that. But the metzias is it's a hard thing to do. The notion of authority in America today is countercultural. We don't really live in a culture where authority is held up as a fundamental value. Adarabba, everything is anti-authority. And that's why to raise children today and to be in a school today and to run a school today that is predicated upon the notion of authority, that parents have authority and Rabbeim has authority and Torah has authority, is going uphill. Because the kid says, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm not in the mood. Not in the mood. But you have to. You have to. What do you mean I have to? I don't have to. Nobody else around me has to. It's a complicated place to be. It's a challenge. I tell my kids that I don't envy them raising their kids. It's different than when I raised and my wife and I raised our kids. Even 20, 30 years later. It's different. It's complicated. At the top of page 3, I xerox from an article that was published in 1975. And the title is a very interesting title. 1975. Shena Shok Midyaren ago. 1975. The title is The American Rabbi, a Religious Specialist Responds to Loss of Authority. Does the rabbi have authority today in America? Your rabbi, wonderful, Veile Yidin, Gewaldige Yidin, does the rabbi have authority? The rabbi has authority to the extent to which you want the rabbi to have authority. The rabbi tells you to do something, so you want to do it, you do it, you don't want to do it, and you figure it out. There's no authority. So how does a rabbi respond to a loss of authority? 1975. And so they introduce, in the course of this article, two terms. One is imperative authority, and one is influential authority. And I would venture to say that in our culture, imperative authority is hard to be mekabel. We operate much more today with influential authority. That the Rebbe has an influence on the Talmid. The Rabbi has an influence. The parents have an influence on children. You can't force. You can inspire influential authority. I hope to be able to get you to realize what I consider to be fundamental truths upon which is based Klal Yisrael and upon which is based our Mesorah. I hope to do that by influencing you to see the MS, to see the godless. It's not imperative authority, it's influential authority. Which then leads me to an entirely different and alternative vision of Kabbalah Sator. And I want to juxtapose the first image, Malame Chakof Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asar Kigigis V'amar Lahem Imatem Makablam Esator Mutovim Lav Shantei Kvuraschem, or in the Lashon of the Medrash and Shir HaShirim, either you accept the Torah or ani horeg eschem. I want to juxtapose that with an alternative vision. And I'm going to want to conclude that tzvei dinim, that in essence, it's really both. So the Mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel at the bottom of page 3 talks about Rabbi Omer laudi ashvachan shel Yisrael shekishamdu kulon lefnei arsina lekabelas haTorah hishvu kulon levechad lekabel malchus elokim besimcha. that when Bnei Yisrael was standing in Har Sinai, they all got together to be mekabel malchus elokim besimcha. What is besimcha? Besimcha, it's a very basic interpretation. They were happy. They were joyful. At the end, v'nigla al Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to them on Har Sinai, kizokein malei rachmin. A zokein malei rachmin and lekabel malchus elokim besimcha provides for us a different kind of an image than the image of Malamit Shakof Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sa'ar Kegigis, and he booms out, Im Atem Mekabel Mesator Amuto V'im Lav Sham Teik Vurasch. There's a simcha here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not giving them an ultimatum, either you accept the Torah or you die, or you accept the Torah or I'll kill you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Zofim Malei Rachme. On page 4. Lo yeh lecha lekim acherem al panai. Vayta de mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael. Loma ne'mar. Lefi shehu omer anochi Hashem elokecha. Moshe lemelech basar v'dam. Shenichnas lemedina. You have the English on the left hand side. Moshe lemelech basar v'dam. Shenichnas lemedina. Amar lo avadav. Gezor aleim gzeros. You know, decree. You're the balabas. You're the melech. Make decrees. Amar lohem love. That's not how to do it. Kashiyakablu es melchusi, then emor aleim gzeros. First I have to accept my reign. First I have to accept me as the king. Once they accept me as the king, then I'm going to go make decrees. Sheim einon mekablu melchusi, hech mekaimim gzerosai. If they're not going to submit to the authority of my rulership, then mechatesi, they should go ahead and follow my gzeros. Kach amar amokam li Yisrael, anochi Hashem elokecha lo yia locha Elohim acher, ani hu shekibalta malchusi aleichem b'mitzrayim, amar lo hein, vehein, ukeshem shekibalta malchusi aleichem, kiblu gzerosai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicated his connection with Bnei Yisrael and his being mechayiv Bnei Yisrael to observe mitzvos because they already have a relationship. This notion of being mechayiv somebody is predicated on a pre-existent relationship. If there's a relationship, and if I understand that the relationship is not an equal relationship, but ich bin an eved and the Rabbeinu Shlolem is a melech, if that's what it is, and I get that, then we could move to a conversation about, okay, so what does that mean for me? What are the implications of that for me? What kind of behavior do I have to have based on that? But just to come marching in and say, be makabel my gzeiros, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says that it wouldn't work with Bnei Yisrael. Medrash Shir Hashirim, the bottom of page 4. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The pasuk Yishakeni Mineshikos Pihu, kissing. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Malach Hayamotzi Adibor Milefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Al Kol Dibor VeDibor. The Malach would take every Dibor of the Aseres Adibros, Umachziro Al Kolecha VeEchad MiYisrael, and the Malach would go and pay a visit to every single Jew. VaOmer Lo, the Malach would say, Mekabel Ato Lecha Sadibor Azeh. Are you in? You're ready to be Mekabel the Dibor? Kach v'kach dinin yeshbo, kach v'kach einshin yeshbo, kach v'kach gzeros yeshbo, v'kach mitzvus, v'kach kalam v'chamuros yeshbo, kach v'kach matan tzchar yeshbo. Okay, so you're in? Are you in? This is what it is. Here's the mitzvah. Here's the dibur. Here's what it entails. Here's what the requirements are. Here's the reward that you're going to get for it. Are you ready to sign on? And continues the Medrash, Vayom Elo Yisrael, hey. And the Jews say, yeah, we're ready. The Chozer Va'omer Lo, Mekabel At Elokuso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'omer Lo, hey, v'hein, Miyad Hoya Noshko Al Piv. The Pasek Yishokeini Meneshikos Pihu. It's a different image. The Malach takes the Dibra, walks around, asks every Jew, Are you in? He's not holding a gun to the head of every Jew, this Malach. Here's what it is. Are you ready to sign on? And the Jew said, yeah, we're ready to sign on. We're ready to sign on for the mitzvah, for the dibur, and we're ready to sign on for the Elokuso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're ready to be mekabel, the divinity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah, we're in. Put me down. Sign me up. You say you're ready to go? Sikim tachtaka, literally, akish and piskel. It's a gavaldig ezach. It's a wonderful thing. You get a kiss from the Malach. And then the next half of the Medrash is that the Dibur itself, you didn't need an intermediary of a Malach, but every Dibur, as it were, went and peddled itself for all of Klal Yisrael. And they said, yeah, great, I love it. I love it, I want it. I want it. I want to do it. I understand what it is. I understand what the implications are. I understand what the requirements are. I want to do it. Kim Tachtaka Kishin Piskol, it's a beautiful thing. It's a different kind of a concept of what happened at Matan Torah. It's a whole different image about what happened at Matan Torah. There was a Kabbalah B'Simcha. Which brings me to my most favorite Mechilta de Rabbi Yishma on page 5. Pasuk says Ashir Ashirim in Perek Beis Yonasi Bechad Ve'asala B'tseser Hamadrega Hari'ini Es Marayach Hashmi'ini Es Kolech Ki Kolech Orev U'marechna. Yonasi a Yona is a bird. It's a bird. It's a dove. Bechagve hasela. What is bechagve hasela? So sela means a rock. And the chagve hasela means in the cleft of the rock. How do they translate it? The cleft of the rock. What's pshat, the cleft of the rock? The cleft of the rock is there's an indentation in the rock. So the rock protrudes. Atadua it protrudes. And atadua it protrudes. And in mitten deridin, there's an area where the stone, where the rock is back, and that's where, in that little area, that's where your nasi, that's where the bird goes into the cleft of the rock. Zakt de Mechilta de Rabbi Yishma, betach de Sohar, the middle of page 5. Melamed shenitlash hohar min komo, v'korvu v'amdu tach. It's the same visual image. Vayisyasu betachta sahor, melameh jekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem es ha'har kegigis. The mountain is over them. Not pshat, lefi pshuto, that they're around the foot of the mountain, but it means they were mamish under the mountain. Aleihem mefurash bekabolo, yonasi bechag ve'asa. Zugestellt, to Vayisyatzvu betachtes ahor is the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Yonasi bechag ve'asala. Why is Yonasi bechag ve'asala? Why does the Yona go into the cleft of the rock? Vas feltais the Yona outside of the cleft of the rock? So the answer is obvious. The Yona goes into the cleft of the rock because the Yona seeks protection. Because it's raining outside, and the Yona is uncomfortable. It's very hot outside. The Yona is very uncomfortable. So the Yona chaptachtzu to the cleft of the rock. So now the Yona is protected. It doesn't rain in there, in that loch. And the sun doesn't go, there's shade in that loch. Yonasi bechag ve'asa. Zokta Mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu pick up the mountain? HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up the mountain because where are B'nai Yisrael now? They're in the Sinai Desert. And it's not in the winter time. It's in the Sinai Desert like now. So today was something in the 80s. So Baruch Hashem, we have air conditioning. We get to Chanetze. So in the Sinai Desert, they didn't have air conditioning. And in the Sinai Desert, they don't have shade. and in the Sinai Desert, it's beastly hot. So just shtel zechvor for a minute, if Torah is a Torah's chayim, if it's real. So you have all the Jews around the foot of the mountain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts to talk to them. And he says to them, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. And what are the Jews doing? Schwitzing. They are schwitzing. They're dripping. They can't find a place for themselves. Sunstroke. They're plotting. They're just trying to figure out how to get out of here. Stop the sermon. Done. I am hot. Who can concentrate? Who can concentrate? Kadosh Baruch Hu picks up the mountain, puts it over them. Shay, what were you saying? Now we can have a conversation. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold up the mountain over them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu held up the mountain over them for the same reason that your nasi is b'chag ve'asa. What a chesed. What a gift. What sensitivity, what kindness. You want me to feel comfortable? You want me to be mekabel the Torah? I'm happy to be mekabel. I'd love to be mekabel, but I can't. Who can concentrate? Sunstroke. I went on the National Geographic website to find out how hot it is in the Sinai Desert at the beginning of June. And it's 125 degrees. So I imagine over the course of the last couple of thousand years it didn't change that much. So you'll say it's global warming, it's a couple of degrees. So it's 114 degrees. Shtel zachvor, you're trying to concentrate in 114 degrees. You have nowhere to go. It's a chesed. It's not that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam kafa lehem es harakir amr lehem, listen guys, im atem mekablum es haTorah mutar v'im lav, whoop, bye, it was great knowing you, done. That's not what it is. Picks up the mountain. Yonasi b'chad v'yasa. The Medrash says in Shir HaShirim at the bottom of page 5, the Medrash says at the bottom of page 5 the same thing. Bisha'a sha'amdu lefnei har Sinai yonasi b'chag ve'asela shahayu chavuyin b'sisrael shel Sinai. It's a mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael. It's a Medrash Shir HaShirim. Take a look at the top of the next page, of page 6. The Avista of Nassan says, the Avista Rav Nosson says at the top of page 6, Tahom kafa aleihem milamayla v'ovru bo Yisrael kadesha lo yitzdaru. Kadesha lo yitzdaru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to have tzar. And so what I want to suggest to you is that we now have the same image but vastly different conceptions of this image. And I want to suggest that Lemaisa, both of these are important. We understand that at the end of the day, our commitment to Torah and to mitzvahs is not an option for us. It's not like we have a choice. We believe that we had the schus to be born Jews. So if we're Jews, so that has a certain mechayev for us. That the word mitzvah means a commandment. The word mitzvah does not mean a good deed. If it's a good deed, so today I'm in the mood to do a good deed, shanginik, tomorrow I had enough, I helped the old lady yesterday across the street, I'll take a break. You know what, this Shabbos thing, you know, I did the last three Shabbosim. There's a ball game on, a chveis. There's a sale in the mall. I took care of Shabbos the last three Shabbosim. You know, two chappen to the mall. you know, I'll go after candle lighting. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You know what? I did mincha for a month. You know, I'm tired of mincha. I'm going to take a break from mincha. I'm going to take a break from mincha so when I do mincha again, I'll have a geschmack. What are you talking about? What, that category is alien to us. We have an obligation because we are Jews and we understand that our commitment to Torah and mitzvot is a requirement. The story is told about a Chassidish Rebbe in a small town in Eastern Europe. One of his Chassidim once came to see him and he said to him, Rebbe, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I need help. My wife is not feeling well and my horse is schlepping a foot and my roof is leaking and my daughter is 13 and there's not a shidduch in sight. Ich werde platzt. I don't know. I need Rachmei Shammai. So the Rebbe says, David, you came to the right place. I'll tell you exactly what to do. In 2 weeks is Rosh Chodesh. The month after that is Rosh Chodesh. 2 weeks after that is Pesach. 2 weeks after that is Rosh Chodesh. The next month is Rosh Chodesh. For the next 6 months, when you say Hallel, I want you to say Ana Hashem with Kavana. You say Ana Hashem with Kavana, and the Eibishtet helfen, ich zog dir zu, ich bin a Rebbe, that's why I know these things. The Eibishtet helfen, everything will be okay. So, Chusid goes home, he's jumping up and down, he's so excited. After all, he's a Chusid, that the Rebbe heist, he does exactly what the Rebbe says. Can't wait, gets up early, Rosh Chodesh, and he runs to mikveh, and he davens vosikin, and he comes to Holland, and he's belting out on Asha. And then the next month, and then Pesach, and then 2 weeks later, and 6 months go by, gunish ne gunish. Goes back to the Rebbe. Rebbe, I got a problem. I believed in you. And now it's 6 months later, I did exactly what you told me to do, and now Nebuch, the wife, is still not feeling well, and the horse left my chalitz afoot, and the roof is leaking, and now Nebuch, my daughter, she's 13 and a half, and there's nothing going on. The Rebbe says, David, where in Hallel did you say Ana Hashem with Kavan? So he says, what do you mean where? Ana Hashem Oshiyona. Ana Hashem Atzlichona. Slams his hand down. Wrong Ana Hashem. Wrong Ana Hashem. There's another Ana Hashem in Hallel. There's another Ana Hashem in Hallel. Ana Hashem, Ki Ani Avdecha. You want to say Ana Hashem Hashiyana with Kavana? That's easy. It's easy to say Ana Hashem Hashiyana with Kavana. God, I need you to help me. I need salvation. Please, God, help me. Ana Hashem Atzlichana. That's easy. I want you to say Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha with Kavana. We say Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. It's in the book. It's in the prayer book. Under the Hallel heading. And we say it all the time. And what do we mean when we say it? We're not phonies. Right? Torah is real. Judaism is real. What do we mean when we say it? Do we mean Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha? I'm ready to say that I'm an Eved Hashem? That's it? By definition, an Eved means they have no choice. An Eved, the homahus of an Eved is to do what the Adon says. Finish. No, I'm not in the mood today. What do you mean? You're an Eved. Finish. You're an Eved. Do we mean in 2011? Do we mamish mean? I am an Eved. That's what I am. I am an Eved. What are you talking about? It's America. It's a free country. I'm nobody's Eved. We fought that in the revolution. Shanginik with Eved. Ana Hashem. Ki ani avdecha. What does it mean, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha? Aleph Beis. Ana, I understand. Ana Hashem, please God, Hoshiyana. Ana Hashem, please God, Hatzlichana. I get it. What is Ana Hashem? Please God, ki ani avdecha. Vikim tekatze bedavasa. What does Ana Hashem have to do with ki ani avdecha? Isn't that the first time you're hearing this pasuk? You've said it 1,000 times. What does it mean? I'll tell you the way I understand it. Because I really work on myself to be an Eved Hashem. I'm not saying like the platitude of an Eved Hashem. In the fancy yeshivas that I went to, you have to be an Eved Hashem. But I want to be an Eved Hashem. Me. Now. I want to be an Eved Hashem. I have to work on it. It's not pasha to be an Eved Hashem. So what I think about every time I say that pasuk is Ana Hashem, please God, help me. Help me have the capacity. Help me to be on a madrega. Help me to really be able to say fully, Ki ani avdecha. I need you to help me. Because I am not there on my own. I need you to hold my hand. Ana Hashem, please, I know it's the right thing. I know it's the right thing. But I have to fight with myself. Because I want to be free. Because I want to be my own balabas. And the answer is I'm not free and I'm not my own balabas. I'm an Eved Hashem. And that's, for me, the image of Kaf Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sahar Kigigis. V'omer lahem im atem mekablim es haTorah mutov v'im lav shom teik furas. Because at the end of the day, that is a fundamental core of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, is to understand that it's either you do it or you're dead. There's no option. It's not like a shtickle, today, tomorrow, yesterday, you know, maybe we'll cut a little corner, we'll skip it. No. Ana Hashem, ki ani avdecha. We're under the mountain. And we have to try to figure out a way how to really access that deep hakara that is counter-cultural, that we are Avdei Hashem. We are Avdei Hashem. We are in God's army. We do what God wants us to do, and that's what we are. Our job is to do what God wants us to do. Our job is to be Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. And it's not optional. On the other hand, what a chesed. What a gift. Those non-Jewish nations at the beginning of Masechet Avodah Zarah were really disadvantaged. We have a gift, and it's called Shabbos, and it's called Kashrus, and it's called Taras HaMishpacha, and it's called Talmud Torah, and it's called Mitzvahs. It's a gift. It makes our lives so much more precious and so much more meaningful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds the mountain over us and protects us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a big hug. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a big kiss. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift. And it's both at the same time. It's Tzvei Dinim. On the one hand, we're mekabel the avdus. On the other hand, we're makir, the godless of the chesed. Rabbi Soloveitchik, oh my God, I'm sorry. I just want to leave you with one final thought. I'm a few minutes over, one final thought. What word in that phrase is very strange to you? My final thought. Amar la Makadosh Baruch Hu, Matem Mekabel Mesatora Mota V'im Lav. Sham? What should it have said? Po. Im Matem Mekabel Mesatora Mota V'im Lav, Po. What's Sham? What is Sham? So I'm going to tell you something that is eating away at me, and that is charter schools. I am beside myself, and I'm walking into a community that I'm a stranger in. I say this wherever I go. I am a maniac about this. I must have spoken 10 times in the last 3 weeks, 10 times in the last 3 weeks, I talk about charter schools. This is absolutely a terrible danger for the Jewish people. Any institution of Torah learning that will diminish one kihuzeh of what this school is, of what a makom Torah is a disaster for the Jewish people. Because that's pshat in the Gemara. My father told me many years ago, why does it say Sham and not Po? My father, Zol Gesundsein, he said to me, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Jewish people, if you accept the Torah, it's going to be wonderful. If you don't accept the Torah, you know what? You'll be okay for a while. You'll muddle along. You'll manage. After all, we're now living with the Chivi and the Yavusi and the Girgashi and the Chiti and the Amori and the Prizi. You'll be okay. But it's not going to last. Imatem mekabla mesatora mutavim lav, sham, tehek furasam. Down the road, you're finished. You're going to have the same suf as the Chivi and the Chiti and the Yavusi and the Girgashi. When was the last time you bumped into a Girgashite or a Chivite? The Rambam already says, by the Shiva Amimim u'kvarovat zichram, God! That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling me. So you think you're going to get away not sending your kid to a yeshiva? You think you're going to get away that somehow it's going to work out? That anything less than absolute full immersion in Torah is going to be good for you? Yeah, you'll manage. You'll manage. You'll last a generation or two. But mark my words. Shun tehek vurasa. In a couple of generations, you're finished. And you need to understand now the implications of that behavior. Imatem mekablam es haTorah. What a chesed. V'im lav. If you tamper with Talmud Torah, it's over. You can fool yourself into thinking that you'll be okay. And you might be okay. But before you turn around, you're finished. And that's the lesson of Shavuos. To re-engage with what Torah means for us and what mitzvot mean for us from both of these perspectives. On the one hand, to be mekabel the metzias, and I don't mean this platitudes, I mean it in the kishkes, that we really believe that we are ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, because if you don't believe it, we're phonies. If you don't believe it, we're saying words and we're faking it. God forbid that should be. We say those words, we need to mean those words. And it's not easy, ana Hashem, to be able to say those words. And on the other hand, the chesed, the gift, the shade, the hug, the kiss, we should be zeichet for Kabbalah Satorah and for Freilich Yamtid.